Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you this morning. I pray you all had a wonderful love day on yesterday. After I left you, I just started having some issues, but I thank God that he brought me through. Hallelujah. So thanking God for another day. And I just, I'm going to start a little different this morning. I'm starting with a prayer from our 365 prayer book this morning, because that's what God put on my heart. And our title today is coming out of the book of Matthew, "Truly This Was the Son of God." And we know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. But the word that God gave me for our prayer on this 15th day of February is one heart. I would give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 11 and 19, NASB. God of redemption, thank you for your relentless love that pursues my heart at every point in life. You do not require my perfect obedience or submission in order to do what you set out to do. You have taken my cold, cold heart and given me a heart that beats with the warmth of your love. You took what was hard and indifferent and replaced it with a moldable, movable organ. Thank you for your fluid grace that does not do anything the same way, but is always recognizable in its character. I welcome you to move again in me, to open my eyes to this one heart you have given all your people. Thank you for your spirit that has brought life to me in a possible way. May I walk humbly with you, with a heart of flesh that is connected to the ultimate source of lifeblood found in you. I remember that I am part of a family with the same heart. May it be undivided. Heavenly Father God, as I go forth this morning, I ask you, Lord God, as I ask every day, please increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, my united heart with you, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. Cannot do this without you, Lord God. You are my strength. And I thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed my soul from sin, who redeems me by his blood, who loves me and is always there for me. Father God, let the Holy Spirit ignite in me. As this word goes forth, may it touch somebody's heart, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I love the word, a question as we go through the word today is, can you see a difference in your heart as you walk with the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord today? We all must be accountable. Hallelujah. We all must have accountability. And today is a new day. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for caring about your children. When no one else cares about you, just know the Father does. And I'm happy to say we are ready to go into a new book this morning. We are in the book of Leviticus. We're getting ready to get into some laws today. And I am so excited because Leviticus is a book of the law. It gives us what we need to move forward. And from my Know Your Bible book, it tells us about Leviticus. And it says the author is not stated, but it's traditionally attributed to Moses. It was written approximately 1400 B.C., about to 1400 years before Christ. In 10 words or less, a holy God explains how to worship him. As we go through this book, we will learn how to worship God. We will learn how to keep his commandments, to keep his holy days, and to know that there is only one God. And it says this Leviticus meaning about Levites describes how the family, how that family line should lead the Israelites in worship. The book provides ceremonial laws as opposed to the moral laws of Exodus, describing offerings to God, dietary restrictions, and purification rites, special holy days, including the Sabbath, Passover, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and are commanded. The family of Aaron, Moses' brother, is ordained as Israel's, as Israel's former priesthood. Leviticus lists several blessings for obedience and many more punishments for disobedience. We're going to learn a lot in the book of Leviticus. And some quotables for Leviticus is, "You shall be holy, for I, God, am holy." Leviticus 11 and 44. "The life of flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Leviticus 17 and 11. And it says Leviticus' blood sacrifices are contrasted with Jesus' death on the cross by the writer of Hebrews, who needeth not daily or those high priests to offer up sacrifice, but this he did once when he offered up himself. Ooh. Hebrews 7:27. Jesus paid it all. No more animal sacrifices. None of that stuff had to happen after his death. And think about this, as we talked about it, the veil was torn in half. The veil was torn in half because at that moment when Jesus gave up his life, which we will be talking about today, the veil torn from the top down. Torn from the top down. We no longer have to go through anybody to get to God. We can go to God ourselves through Jesus Christ. We got to trust God. We got to believe in his word. And the question was, so what? Though we don't live under the rules of Leviticus, we still serve a holy God and should treat him as such. We got to learn how to get back in touch with God. And that is through the Holy Spirit that he gave us to communicate with him. The Holy Spirit he gave us so that he can communicate with us. Through Jesus Christ, he gave us everything we need to be who God says we are. Hallelujah. So let's get your Bibles out, for this is Bible study. And I thank God this morning for prayer. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the sick and the shut in. Pray for those that have gone on. Pray for the living. For God is a God of the living. Pray for those that are left behind. For those that have gone on are with God. So that is what God's word tells us. Absent from this earthly vessel is in the presence of God. For we are all souls. We are souls. And we are just being housed in this earthly body. So don't get caught up in the hype of crazy that's going on in our world today. Don't get caught up in the hype of, well, you don't look like me, so I don't like you. That's a foolishness, and it's not of God. We got to love each other because God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That us, all of us who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus today? It's a question we have to each individually ask ourselves. Do I believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. As the centurion soldier, the cross said, surely this was the Son of God. I know that my Savior lives, and he was and is the Son of God. So let's get into our word today. Please join me in Leviticus chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we will be going from Leviticus chapter 1 and chapter 2. Our psalm for today is the 22nd psalm, and we'll be starting at verse 22 through 31. Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll be starting at verse 32 through verse 36. And we will be in Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 27 through 54. So please join me in Leviticus chapter 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, said, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. Offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will. There's that free will offering right there. At the door of the tabernacle, a meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Excuse me. Please pray for me. Some congestion today, but I know that I am healed by the blood of Jesus. The burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord is a bird. Then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off his head, and burn it on the altar. His blood shall be drained out of it, out at the side of the altar, and he shall remove its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east side into the place of ashes. Then he shall split it at its wings, but shall not divide it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood, and in the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour. With you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from four heads. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Hallelujah. And some life lessons from chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Leviticus. Chapter 1, verse 3, he shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And I say that again. He shall offer it of his own free will. Willing offerings to the Lord demonstrate where the desires of our heart truly lie. Free offerings. You know, we shouldn't be beating folks into paying their tithes. They should pay their tithes freely. And I know there are those out there that says that we shouldn't even worry about paying tithes. But, you know, churches still got to run, still got to be paid. Water bills still have to be paid. You know, you still have to maintain and take care of the church. And how does that happen? But through our offerings. and they should be given freely. Nobody should have to beat you over your head to say you need to give your offering to God. It should be done freely. And again, willing offerings to the Lord demonstrate where the desires of our heart truly lie. We just talked about our hearts this morning in our prayer. We've got to have willing hearts for God. Leviticus 1 and 17, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Eager obedience is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Christ lived to obey his Father, and when we follow his example, we too become a sweet aroma to the Lord, the aroma of Christ himself. Hallelujah. We want to be a sweet aroma to the Lord. We want to do what thus says the Lord and walk in righteousness, walk in faith, walk in the love of Christ, because he is the Son of God. He truly is the Son of God. We know who he is because we know that God has given us his Son to take our awful sins to the cross. And when we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, so please go over to 2 Corinthians with me this morning. Again, this is Bible study. And 2 Corinthians verse 15 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." Hallelujah. We are a sweet savor of Christ. Thank God. When we are saved, we become that sweet aroma to God, just as it says the aroma of Christ himself. Hallelujah. And as we go to Leviticus chapter 2, life lesson, it says this, no grain offering, which you bring to the Lord, shall be made with leaven. And we know leaven is what? It's like baking powder. It makes the flour rise when you bake it. It makes it thick. And so most flour has leaven in it that you buy in the grocery store. You know, you have to look at it. But it already has the baking soda in it. Baking powder, excuse me, in it. What makes it, and yeast, actually yeast is more leaven than baking powder. Because when you put yeast in it, it rises. And God does not want that. He wanted the flat, unleavened bread. No yeast in it. And as we go in, it says the Bible often uses leaven or yeast there. So I was saying it wrong. It's not baking powder, but yeast as a picture of sin. Matthew 16 and 6, and we're going to go there too. Matthew 16 and 6. Matthew 16, verse number 6, tells us, "Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And it says here, it was not to be offered on the altar, just as sin is not to be allowed to dominate the life of the believer or to dominate the church. Sin should not dominate our church houses. There should not be sin going on in the house of God. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, "You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering." Salt is here used to symbolize God's covenant with his people. Just as salt is necessary to sustain life, so is God's continual relationship with us necessary to sustain and enjoy life everlasting. And I say this, when I was a camp counselor, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but it was quite a few, we used to give salt pills. They're like a little, and you just throw them in the water and shake it up, and it would go into the water so that, you know, our kids didn't get dehydrated. Because when you sweat out if you ever look at someone who's just sweat a whole lot, their skin has a certain sheen to it, is because the salt in the body is coming out. So you do take a salt pellet to help you to just get hydrated again. So salt is important, but not to the abundance where you, you know, get high blood pressure. I'm not talking that. I'm just saying that salt is essential for the body. That's what the Word of God says, that we are the salt of the earth. And that when the salt has lost its flavor, we don't want to lose our flavor. We want to continually be the salt of the earth for God. And as we go into our 22nd Psalm, verse 22, it says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Are you praising God this morning? And you don't have to be in the midst of anybody. You can praise God by yourself. I love to praise him, as the psalmist said. I love to praise him. And as we go back into our words, it says, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. When you in the house of God, praise him like you on the praise team. Praise him from the pew. Nobody should be sitting in the house of God, because we are not dead churches. We got to be alive in Christ. That means you need to get up off your seat and praise the Lord. Come on, saints. We got to praise God. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our cry. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Again, this morning, our word was talking about the heart in our prayer. We got to let our heart be unhardened. Hallelujah. Are you praising God? Are you one heart today? Hallelujah. Are you one heart today? And as we continue, it says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says in Psalm 22 and 24, he has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Jesus clearly had this psalm on his mind as he hung from the cross. So he must also have taken great comfort from this part of the psalm. He knew that God heard his cries and would cause him to triumph. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, by hearing our cries. And as the word says again, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he heard cries to him, he heard. Hallelujah. The Lord hears you. The Lord hears your cries. The Lord sees your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. And as we go into our Proverbs, again, I just wanted to give this quick. This is Blog Talk Radio, and you are listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. is, and I am coming out of the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. A shout out to Dr. Stanley, as well as Israel Houghton and New Breed, which is where our title for the show came from. When I had a dream, God showed me moving forward, and I heard the song from Israel and New Breed in my spirit. And that is why it is the theme song for this show. And I thank Israel Houghton and New Breed for the use of their song, which I do not own, but I do love. So hallelujah, I thank God for you, Israel. And again, congratulations on your new baby. As we move forward, it says this in Proverbs 8:32-36. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Ooh. Don't love me to death, love me to life. Hallelujah. And I'll just say that. I love you to life. I don't love you to death. I love you to life. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our New Testament word, which is where our title comes from, surely this was the Son of God. And Jesus was going through. He was going through on the cross. He was going through. And he asked God, why have you forsaken me? We all go through our moments. But we repent and we move forward and we give ourselves away so the Lord can use us for his glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's always and will always be about the Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As the kids sing, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about Jesus. So I thank God for that song. And we thank God for the author of it and the singers of it. May God bless them with anointing. It is not about me or you, but about Jesus. Matthew 27:27-54. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. And when I was reading that, what I pictured is, if this was today, they would put him in that outfit, put him in the robe, and put the reed in his head, and put the crown of thorns on his head, and then they would take selfies. You know, you can see it on Instagram. You can see it on TikTok. You can see it on Twitter and Facebook. You know, them. I could see them with the, you know, the peace sign on their knees as they're taking selfies with King of the Jews, as they mock our Savior. We have to be so careful, so very careful, what we allow in our hearts and minds and spirit. But if this was today, you would see it all over the internet, everything that these guards are doing. We know, because we saw the same kind of foolishness going on with our soldiers. Some of them, when they were in Iraq and Afghanistan doing awful things. Took pictures of it, posted it. And some of them are 7 John 11 words because of it. We got to watch as well as pray that we don't fall into the mockery of Christ. They mocked our Savior. And then as we go, they get ready to take him to be crucified. And it says, now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. In other words, they gave him wine mixed with vinegar. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Setting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Well, I'll tell you what, he was the King of everyone, the Jews and the Gentiles. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is Jesus, the Son of God. And as we go forth in verse 38, it says, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, doesn't that sound like something Satan would say? That sounds just like something Satan would say. Just like he said, cast yourself down off of this temple. You know, your daddy will send his angel, basically, to take care of you, to keep you from dashing your foot. Jesus tell him that, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There you go. Come on down. Talking a whole lot of trash. And it says, likewise, the chief priest also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. We trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now, Matthew says they mocked him, whereas I believe it's in Luke where he told the one, you'll be with me in paradise. So in Matthew said, they mocked Jesus, talked about him. And then it goes on to tell us that from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard it that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. the dead in Christ. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So can you imagine? It looked like a bunch of zombie apostles. The zombie, the dead bodies were coming up. But we know in Ezekiel talking about dry bones coming on. You know, folks came back. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, surely this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. But it took his death for some to believe. Is it going to take him coming back again for others to believe? Do you believe in Jesus? I know I do. Because I have seen what he's done in my life. God knows us. He knows everything about us. And he loves us anyway. Hallelujah. Thank God for his love today. And as we go to life questions for this word. But first, a life lesson. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. At the beginning of the crucifixion, both robbers jeered Jesus. But when one criminal saw how Jesus reacted to the angry mob with grace and forgiveness, he was struck to the heart. There's that heart thing again. And came to faith. Luke chapter 23:40-43. He came and ask forgiveness. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. We have to ask forgiveness. We have to have a heart change. We have to be a unified church. Our hearts cry to have that, oh, how we love him in our spirit. Hallelujah. And it says forsaken. Matthew 27:46. And we know that word. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? We have all at least thought it. My God, why have you forsaken me? We've all come to the point where we feel like God has left us to despair in our bad situations, whether it's because of medical problems, relational difficulties, or financial setbacks. We know what it's like to feel abandoned. Yes, for some reason, it's disturbing that Jesus said it on the cross in Matthew 27:46, tells us about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Truly, this was the Son of God. But even he had a moment. The word forsaken means to abandon or leave helpless. Yet, generally, we are accustomed to hearing it in terms of God's promise to never desert us. As Deuteronomy 31:6 says, the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He says it again in Joshua 1, that he will not forsake us, that he will not leave us or forsake us. He was with Moses and he will be with us. And it says, therefore, because we know that God honors his promises, we are convinced that God is never going to forsake us. And even when it feels like God is nowhere to be found, we claim the promise and have confidence that he is still with us. However, when we read that Jesus said it on the cross, it's somewhat disconcerting. Of course, we understand that Jesus had to be crucified in order to forgive us of our sins. And when we go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and it says, by the law purged with blood and without shedding of blood is no remission. I read that one more time. Let me actually go back up to verse number 20 so that it's in context. Jesus in the title for that section from verse 15 to 28 is Christ once for all sacrifice. And it says this in verse 19. Let me go to 19. It says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor, verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have sacrificed since the foundation of the world. And now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them they took for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Wow, what a word. And it says, and we know that it was excruciating for him. Still, it was an outburst that seemed strange coming from Jesus. Think about it. Jesus had been on the cross almost 6 hours. Why did he say it just as he was about to die, when he was almost through with the mission? After all, Jesus knew that the Father would keep his promise to resurrect him from the grave. And that is in Psalm 16 and 10. So knowing the promise and knowing the suffering would be over very soon, why did Jesus say that God had forsaken him? We know it couldn't be from a lack of faith. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Psalm 16 and 10. Okay, Psalm 16 and verse 10. Just want to read it. And it says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Ooh, what a word. And it goes on to tell us, sometimes in the immensity of all that happened at the cross, we lose the small details of God's astonishing plan. However, it's important to note the exact moment when Jesus cried out. The Mishnah, which is the oral law of the Jewish people, reports the slaughter of the Passover lamb was performed during the ninth hour. The ninth hour, we learn that at the exact moment when the lambs were being sacrificed in the temple, Jesus was crying out of being forsaken. If you've ever wondered when exactly Jesus became our sin offering, understand that it was in that one awful, horrifying, redeeming moment that he cried out, because it was in that moment that he became sin for us. As Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul confirmed indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. in that moment, Jesus knew what it meant to be separated from God. For the first time since before the beginning of time, Jesus didn't feel God's presence. That doesn't mean that the Godhead was breached. Jesus was still fully God. Rather, it means that the Son understood the poverty of being separated from the Father, the hopelessness of it, the loneliness of it. It was the most heart-wrenching, awful moment of his life, worse than any scourging, beating, or crucifixion. Perhaps that was the way that Jesus best experienced what it's like to be us, what it feels like to be a sinner without actually being one. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. In that moment, Jesus felt every fear that you and I feel. He felt the consequences of it means to be forsaken, what it means to be without God's perfect love. Perhaps that's what it is at the core of every time we feel forsaken, abandoned, enraged, offended, and hurt. It all comes from fear. We're afraid of being left with nothing. We're scared of being unloved and rejected. We're terrified of dying alone. However, at the core of it all is the fear that comes from not feeling God's perfect love. Yet 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Friend, thank you, Dr. Stanley. You are my friend, too. Friend, perfect love doesn't abandon you. When you experience God's perfect love and are obedient to his will, it doesn't matter what happens. You are fully convinced of God's provision and protection. Therefore, whenever you feel forsaken, remember that the resurrected Christ knows exactly how you feel. Whew. He knows the depth of your pain. Did not leave you helpless to face your fears. He did not abandon you to a life without the perfect love of God. So the next time you read the profound words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thank Jesus for identifying with you in such a deep way and realizing that you can always count on him, because there's no situation you will face that he will not face with you. Truly, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Thank God today for his word. I thank God today for all of you who have joined me. We have had our prayer this morning. We did it before the show started. A word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. Good morning. When God decides to bless you, come on now, he will cause situations to come together in your favor. No matter what others try to do, have a wonderful Wednesday. Understand, God will give you favor. All you have to do is believe. Have faith. Don't walk in fear. Know that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And that is our word this morning. If there is anyone that has a word that God has put in your heart, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone. And if not, we are finished this morning. And I pray over you. If no one has a word, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We do have a caller. Good morning, caller 6962.
Good morning, Pastor Bridget. God said we better be thankful for every single second of the day. For it is by his grace that we can walk, talk, and be able to move our limbs. We must be thankful. He said, Amen. Be thankful, for I am providing for you no matter what you say.
Amen.
To be alive this day.
Amen.
It's a beautiful day in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful day right here on earth.
Amen. All I can say is amen. And we say together, hallelujah. For God is in charge of everything. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
Thank
and
God
we forget
today.
It.
Amen.
We forget it and we must not. If you've got a roof
amen.
Over your head, clothes in your right mind, clothes on your back, food in your belly, a car to drive or someone to pick you up, why are you griping? Ooh, God, I don't have. Yes, you do have.
Amen.
You're being attacked.
We have.
You say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lead me, guide me, and follow me, Lord. Lord,
evangelist
hallelujah.
Is preaching this morning, y'all. Thank you so much, Evangelist Teresa. The Lord just used you in a mighty way. Truly, he is the Son of God. We know who Jesus is. He is our Savior.
Hallelujah.
And all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord, for another day.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm all filled up from the word, and now I'm filled up from evangelist because I know
hallelujah.
That was a word from God. Hallelujah. So evangelist, as we wrap it up, as we've already prayed our prayer, would you pray us out this morning with a prayer from the Lord?
Yes, God. Father God, forgive us, God, of each and every sin, iniquity, even every thought we've done, Lord, or how we've acted, Father God, that our prayers may be heard, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for this day, Wednesday, February 15, 2023, God. We thank you, God, for all those who listen to Blog Talk Radio, God. They listen, God, as Pastor Bridget was bringing forth the word, God. Let us be grateful and thankful, God, and loving towards you, God, as you lead. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're worthy, God. Watch us, God, as we go about our days, Father God. Keep us covered by your hedge of angels, Father God, that no harm or danger should come upon us. Father God, we thank you, God, each and every listener once again, Father God. Lead us, guide us, follow us, and teach us, God, how to pray even deeper this day, Father God. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give God that he gave you another day. Hallelujah. Because he didn't have to, but he did.
Yes,
thank you, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your son. Thank you, evangelist, for your prayers. Thank you all for listening in. Those are listening live and those that are listening later. You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Moving forward with Minister Bridget, and I like to say, and friends, thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that God is in charge of everything. Thank you, evangelists. Have a blessed day. Thank you, family.
You too.
Please join me again tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a what? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. We've got things to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.